Hello and welcome to the Food and Drink Show here on Radio Reverb 97.2 FM. We're also on DAB and you can listen to us online via our website. Well, since we have been last together, I've been on a bit of the party circuit actually. Lots of my friends have been having big birthdays. Two in particular I have to mention because the food was so good and so novel that I felt I had to mention it. Number one, Joe Wetherill, a very happy birthday to you. They actually took over a whole pub, would you believe? But what was so nice is we sat round tables, chatting away, having our drinks, and then they brought sort of mezze-style platters to the table with plates and everything that we needed. And we didn't have to get up and queue. And then they followed with homemade gorgeous cakes afterwards as well. So well done to Suzanne for catering for that. And there was enough to go round. The second birthday that I have to say, a very happy birthday to George, was it was true, authentic Greek food. Could it get better than that? All made by family and friends. And I have to say, I'm going to invite them on the show to do some cooking because it was extremely delicious. And there were not only one birthday cake, but three, enough to feed many thousand listeners to Radio Reverb, that is for sure. Well, since the last show, you've been eating haggis, downing Scotch whiskey, tossing pancakes, and we've even had Valentine's with all that flurry of love coming in all things chocolate and special meals for two to share. Some of you will have dry January with not even a whiff of alcohol touching your nostrils. Well, it's no longer January, and I hope to entice you into the bar for some special local beers on tap at the Bison Beer Craft House on E Street, as Jack and Nick will be in the studio a little later on to talk beer and a brand new pub that will be opening. But it's not just any kind of pub. Mm-hmm. And a couple of things that I have, some foodie news, which I have to say I applaud since looking on social media and indeed in the papers. The Food and Drink Show, we say big thumbs up to Asda, and particularly sort of New South Wales, because they started it all. The new sort of, if you like, wobbly or wonky veg boxes, Jamie Oliver got them started doing, and they've launched those. So it's going to save masses of vegetables going sort of into the skip, if you like, saving money. And also they're going to be very affordable as well too. So well done to Asda. The other big congratulations goes out to Aldi, starting with Aldi stores in Germany, and their campaign against pesticides to save our bees. And hopefully there's a big campaign that's going on to make sure that all Aldi stores and indeed supermarkets everywhere do the same thing. So go online, check it out if you can, because let's face it, we all need pollination in order to survive. So good news all round. Now, whilst we're on the subject of fruit and veg, I have been on a health kick. Yes, I have indeed. Juicing and homemade smoothies and soups. And I've been tempted to actually get back into ordering veg boxes online produced by Barkham Nursery near Lewis. Having met up with Maggie Harvey, a professional dancer, would you believe, but now an organic grower and produce manager, I met her at the Growers Market at the Stoneham Park a few months ago, and I was so impressed with the tastiness of the fruit and veg that I brought home. I decided that I wanted to go and visit them to see how they run the scheme, feeding the hungry dwellers of some 400 homes in Sussex, most of which are in the Greater Brighton area. So I invite you to get your wellies on, definitely gloves too, because it is quite cold out in the fields, and join me at Barkham Nurseries for the grand tour. What I also suggest that you do is that you get a pen and paper handy. So you're listening to me, Karen Morton, here live on the Food and Drink Show on Radio Reverb. So we're in this outdoor area here with sort of all sorts of bricks and boxes and everything. This great smell of leeks. So here they are in front of us. So tell me what happens here, Maggie.
Well, these have been pulled in the field this morning. And we used to do a lot of the cleaning in the field, but it's much easier now to do it at waste level.
Oh, yeah.
So we bring them in here, and it's one of the coldest jobs on the nursery.
It's the thing, isn't it, when you get all the organic, you know, your potatoes and all, you open the bag and the amount of scrubbing you have to do. So you're doing it all, which is great.
A lot of it. We do send out muddy roots, like the carrots and the potatoes.
Okay.
Generally, they're muddy, and they keep much better muddy.
Mm-hmm.
If they come in clean, which sometimes they do, they won't last so well.
Oh, really? So, yeah, so muddy's good for keeping longer. It's actually worth it then if you're not planning on eating them that day.
A good nail brush or a veg brush, it cleans up nicely.
Great. So I can actually leave here today with some leeks from you and for my soups. Brilliant. Oh, the smell. I just can't get over how the smell is so strong. It's wonderful. Why am I getting the smell here from you with your leeks and I don't get that when I'm walking by in the supermarket?
They've just been trimmed, I suppose. They're really, that is just a fresh edge.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. When you sniff it up close, it's delicious. Excellent.
And they're from coming out this morning, they'll be on people's doors tomorrow morning, which, I mean, that wouldn't be the case with the supermarkets. They'll have been out days, not sort of a week in advance.
Wonderful. So they really are that fresh.
Yeah.
Oh, excellent. Great. So we've got to have some leeks. So where are we going next?
Oh, I can take you to some of the propagation houses, the first thing.
Mm-hmm.
The compost.
Oh, now there's compost heaps. For our listeners, it's sort of like a size, each one is the size of a garage, really, that would take a very large car or a van. And they're piled high, and that's good composting. So in one I see you've got the start of it going on with lots of empty boxes and veg and everything.
Very smelly yesterday.
I would imagine. And then one is completely, or two are completely full, one half full. So you kind of rotate them around, really. So
you aerate them that way as well, so as by moving them into the next bay.
And of course, you can't do that with a fork, so you have a big digger, a tractor digger, to do that for you. Excellent. I suppose you would need that kind of scale, wouldn't you, really, for the amount of vegetables that you're growing?
Because organic farming is all about nourishing the earth, so it's continually adding stuff. Or because we're taking away the vegetables, we're putting back as well. So sort of continuing that cycle.
With the cycle, yeah. Mm.
So this is the propagation. This is a nice warm space.
Oh, very good.
So this is where vegetables start out and are sown in here, kept warm. Some of these benches are heated. They all can be heated. We can extend the daylight hours with lights. And we're lucky that we've got some solar panels on the roof, community-owned solar panels on the roof of the pack shed, so they sort of in turn fuel the heat and the light, electricity for the light as well. So that extends the days and heats them up.
Yes, it's lovely, and you're out of the wind and everything. Yeah. And there's a lovely fresh smell. There's a smell of earth. And you've kind of got plastic, like bubble wrap, over seedlings, I take it.
Just
so what's planted in here?
We had some beans and peas.
And from when they're sown in here to going out into outside soil, when do you do that?
I mean, these are nowhere near ready to go. Yeah. These went in just before Christmas, but they've come up that far.
Tiny green shoots coming up. And these are far more advanced here. So again, these are probably little pea shoots, aren't they?
Oh, those will be leeks. And the leeks are transplanted several times. So and it started off in here, and then we'll make a furrow in the earth, send that the earth and the leeks that have just started to shoot into the earth.
Mm.
Well, they're transplanted outside then.
Mm. So there's quite a process, really.
Yeah. 80,000 leeks, I think we have.
Yeah, well, I suppose it is a staple for most of us, and cooking, really, isn't it? The flavours that are brought out, and it's a good British vegetable.
It is. It struggled a bit with the wet fields. They do get a bit sort of waterlogged and they can't expand.
So this is the problem with all the heavy rain and flooding that
we're seeing.
Because
it's got good heavy soil as it is, very sort of clay soil, so yeah, it can be challenging.
So how many of you are actually working here, Maggie?
Well, there's only 1.5 people doing all the growing. And then everyone else is involved in the picking and the harvesting and the packing and the delivering.
Do you like volunteers coming down to
help
you at times of the year?
In the summer, we have volunteer days. And we used to do a regular one, but we've really got to have the work, I suppose, to make it worthwhile. Often it's big jobs, things like putting straw underneath the squash plants, to stop the weeds growing around the squash plants. So that's a nice big one, because you get a lot of people together and you cover this big, because it's quite a big piece of land to put the squash on, so it's great to have a lot of people and we can cover the area. So other big jobs, like harvesting the squash as well. There was a particular weed, a gallant soldier, Dutch weed, that came in one time, and you've got to pill it, you pull the roots out of the ground to try and clear the ground of it, and so that's obviously a lot of work by hand. So we had another big bunch of people just come and sort of across the field just picking this. And it's a really nice day because you get lunch. We always have a coffee break. That's the highlight of the day, is our coffee break.
Coffee break, great.
Cakes, good cake and coffee. And then a lunch, a volunteer day has lunch as well. And then the box to take home, box of vegetables to take home. So it's a really nice day.
Isn't that fantastic?
Yeah, it's how I started as well.
Is that right? Yeah. Do people need to keep searching your website or give their email address?
Yeah, if they give us their email address, we can email out when we've got one organised. Because it won't be until the spring that we have one. I mean, sometimes there's winter jobs, but it's not really fair to inflict them on volunteers, I don't think. They're kind of just dirty.
It's dirty. Some people
muddy,
love to get down and dirty.
Cold,
but
wet.
It's good to get out, though, so that's fantastic. People toy with the idea and like the idea of getting a fruit or veg box, and then maybe you don't do anything about it, because if you're living in Brighton and Hove, it's so easy just to go around the corner and buy stuff. So it's just that whole idea of fresh vegetables grown locally and delivered to your door. So that's easy, really, isn't it? Yeah. So come on, sell me your veg. Show me how we buy.
So we have most sales are online, so people go through the website and order through the website. Otherwise, through the market. Some phone calls, word of mouth, often word of mouth actually. Mm-hmm. So just make an order, and as long as we've got that order by the Monday, we can generally honour it for that week. Mm-hmm. If we'd get a whole, we had a lot of new orders after Christmas, which is great, new resolutions, and I'm going to eat healthy.
Yeah.
So that was a little bit tight last week because we weren't quite prepared for it. But then we have, and our computer system is great, that it then tells us we have a set, four set boxes, and we can have them with or without fruit. And we have another juicing box as well, which is primarily, well, it's green leaves and ginger and lemon and fruit. And it can be carrots, beetroot, apples, and other fruit. And we also allow people to substitute things in, so if there's things they don't like or they prefer, they can generally substitute things in.
Well, that's always good to be able to do that, and particularly if people have families, you know, and kids won't eat certain things, you know, or you've got husbands who just won't eat broccoli like I have, and I have to always think about, right, what am I going to, you know, to cook?
Yeah.
Having there.
No, I think that's, things move in that way much more, that people are wanting a very specific box, and ideally we'll do that. At the moment we've got these standard boxes, but we can change them depending on people's requests.
So what, if you think now, sort of we're still in the winter months, February time, and with things that are grown locally, what are the main vegetables that we can have now?
What we grow here at the moment, we've got chard in the inside in the glass houses or polytunnels. We've got parsley and coriander as herbs. Kale outside, so the green curly kale. We've finished the black kale, the Cavolo Nero. We've got some red kale as well. We have pumpkins and squashes in store. We have the leeks. Salad. Salad is one of our sort of staple crops, and we have that all year round.
And when you say salad, what?
So it changes as the year goes by. So we would generally have lettuce, but in the winter the lettuce isn't growing very well. So we have a lot of brassicas, things like rocket, mitsuna, some of the sort of Asian leaves, nubuna. What else have we got there? Have we got even some salad packs here? Some mustard streak, sort of base, like from the mustard family. So
okay,
it's
so
quite a
strong
fiery,
flavours, but that's quite nice at this time of year as well, too, and you can toss it in with other things.
It gives you a bit of internal fire.
Yeah, absolutely. We're in one of your big tunnels, and these gorgeous rainbow-coloured chard, sort of pinks, reds, yellows, it's so beautiful with the green leaves.
Mm.
And then, what is this, like, green grass?
So this is green garlic.
Garlic.
This is garlic, but at the green garlic stage. So it's at the stage like spring onions, although they're bred not to have the bulbs on there. But this would be, if we left it long enough, it would turn into garlic heads. But because our soil is so heavy, it often doesn't get to that point and rots before it gets there. So we grow it just as green garlic and harvest it like this. So it's like a spring onion. Used as a spring onion.
How delicious. So you just chop these leaves. Can I just break a little bit off?
You pull them out. Let's
see what it looks like.
So it's got, that was the clove that was there before.
Oh, right. Okay. So it is very much like a spring onion.
But it's got a flat leaf as opposed to sort of a succulent leaf.
And you can use the whole thing?
Use the whole thing, yeah.
Oh, can I just tell? That's great. So it is just that, and we call them scallions in Ireland. Took me ages getting used to spring onions.
Oh, spring onions, that's
That is really delicious.
Yeah.
So it's kind of that cross between a spring onion and that little burst of garlic coming through, but it's soft, it's not too strong.
No, it's
beautiful in salads.
Yeah. Yeah, or tossed in a stir fry. Pasta yesterday with olive oil and a bit of rocket.
Oh, that's really good. So when is this ready to sell then? When does this go into your boxes?
Now that a month from now, it should be ready to go, I think. And it's something, because we have this hungry gap in the spring when people think, oh, suddenly it's spring, things should be growing. But actually we have a bit of a time then when there's not much coming through until the peas start sort of later, May, June. So we're able to use this green garlic as a sort of, as something to tide us through.
Oh, this is a new one to me. Love it. Absolutely love it. Yeah, we're going to go for that. Really good.
And you're just saying there as well that sometimes, because of demand, that you'll substitute with other things that are not necessarily grown here.
Yeah, so we have, because our soil is so heavy, we can't really go roots. We grow a few, but they never get very big. So we tend to buy our roots in. I can show you the screens, our packing screens, if you like. So perhaps go through what we have brought in. So the purple sprouting, we have had some purple sprouting of our own. Tomatoes we've got, obviously they're not grown in this country. People want tomatoes all year round.
Yes.
So we need tomatoes most of the year round. I mean, in the summer we've got lots of heritage, lovely, sweet, different colours of heritage variety tomatoes. But we buy in from Spain, and we buy from, sometimes direct, sometimes indirectly, from a workers' cooperative down in Perpignan, and they bring in from the surrounding Spain and France and Italy, and then truck it up.
So you have to kind of source those and think
about
what people are
looking
for.
Yeah, I mean, they are set up as sort of wholesale units. We haven't done a whole lot of buying direct from producers, because it would mean a lot of storage at this end. Like, we have thought about oranges from a grower in Spain, but we'd have to have them kept in a cold store and buy enough quantity to make it worth their while. So it would probably take the whole cold store up.
Okay, yeah, so those are the practicalities that you have to think about, and whether you can actually make it viable or not. So people can go online. So it's really critical to you that your website's doing very well.
Yeah.
So what we have here, we've got our root vegetables.
These are actually all from Herefordshire.
And you got eggs.
Yeah, those are from, eggs are biodynamic organic from Forest Row.
Ah!
So they're very close by, and lovely eggs. And we have the apple juice as well from Robert's Bridge in East Sussex. And they do pear and apple. We do a cider as well, but we don't sell that. We're not licensed.
No, yeah.
We sell it in 6 bottles at a time, I think, or. And we also have started selling mineral water from Brampin, which is just up the road, and quite a new source of water. And they do sparkling and still water.
If people go online to order,
yeah,
they can also add those into their order as well too.
And we also send out, one of the difficulties of growing is that at the beginning of the harvest we've got a little bit of something, and at the end of the harvest a little bit of something, so not enough to put through our main boxes, because we've got about 150, 200 small boxes and 100 similar medium boxes. So there's not enough produce to go in all of them. So if we've got a little bit of something, we'll put it out in an email on the Friday saying first 10 people wanting the first of the peas, for example, which will just a real delicacy and
whenever they come up,
May, June. And so people can email back saying, I'd like some of those, please, and they can be added then to their box.
Okay.
So that's a great way. I mean, we're doing that much more, so we've much more sort of regular contact with customers, so we can add things.
So building that rapport with your customers, and it becomes a relationship, really.
Yeah. And where hopefully they get to know how things work a bit better here. Trying to invite people in so they can come and see where things are grown. Offering, when we had some butternut squash, it didn't look quite so good. Couldn't really have sold them, so we offered them free this week. Lots of people took them up. You know, they're happy to get things that are blemished. But we couldn't really sell them.
So, and that's funny, though, that people wouldn't buy something that's a bit blemished in their veg box, isn't it? It's come straight from the nursery.
Yeah, I mean, some of them are funny shapes, so people put up with funny shapes and the mud, like you say.
Yeah. And what tips would you give people for keeping their vegetables? So if you're getting a vegetable box for the week and keeping it as fresh as you possibly can, in the fridge or...?
Leaves in the fridge. I think roots can keep cool. I mean, if you've got a sort of a vermin-free place outside, to leave them outside. We send them in these bags, round root bags, and that, so they can be kept in there, and that will keep a little moisture, and you don't want to get them too dried out, but they'll keep in there for a couple of weeks, and if you keep them outside, they don't need to be in the fridge really. And then the squash we keep in warm places, funnily enough, sort of like on the top of your fridge or on a high shelf, so keep it a bit warmer inside.
And why is that?
They keep better that way. I don't know why they would keep better that way. We have a list on the outside of our cold store of different temperatures of things. So a lot of the tomatoes, the aubergine, the peppers that we have in the summer, we'll keep them in a slightly warmer fridge than we will some of the things we keep in the cooler fridge. Mm. And keeping things moist, because I think one of the problems with cold stores and fridges generally is that they'll dry things out. So keeping them covered, we've got these plastic coats that go over the nets, over the cages once they're in the cold store, just to keep things from drying out.
So it's really important, isn't it, that if you're running this kind of a business, you know, that you know these things. I'm sure you probably learnt a little bit through trial and error.
Mm.
With certain things, but it's so important
To keep the vegetables at the quality.
Let's have a look at a couple of boxes that are maybe going ready to go out at some point today.
They will be setting up the pack line any minute now.
Oh yes, I can see your pack line. I've kind of got these sort of like wheels on the business, so they can slide the boxes along. So do you have a bit of a formula for it?
Yeah. But we have 9 rounds, delivery rounds, and today there's just 2, so Thursdays is a relatively quiet day.
And so where would your delivery be going today?
So today we're packing it for tomorrow morning, early tomorrow morning, so there's a Central Brighton one tomorrow and a Shoreham tomorrow.
So do you have certain days of the week for certain parts?
Yeah.
So you have Shoreham, Central Brighton.
Yeah, there's another Central Brighton on a Wednesday. Lewis is a Wednesday as well. And then we've got sort of mid-Sussex sort of across the country, rural areas, it's a Thursday. Seaford, New Haven is a Thursday as well. So our main days for delivery are Wednesday and Thursday, really.
Okay.
But Friday there's a few rounds.
So do you get a lot of orders from Brighton and Hove?
A lot from Brighton and Hove, yeah. That would be our bulk, probably.
So it's important for your business.
400 plus, we have half of them probably Brighton, and the rest but sort of Lewis and out of town.
Okay. So we're just booting up your computer system now to have a look at what the orders there are. And then everyone sort of looks at this, says here, packing station 2.
So it's like a massive big...
Yeah, so this one's for Shoreham.
So that would be someone's box, and that we would have put the stickers on the boxes and they'd be ready to go, and we'd actually do back to front because then they're loaded into the vehicle, so we start at the end. And we'd pick the box off that had the label, and we'd fill it with... potatoes, carrots and onions are this end, or the roots tend to be this end. Weigh them out according to the weights on there. So there'll be a budget for each box, and that's the standard boxes, but they may have been changed slightly if there are any substitutions in there. So each person has an individual menu for their box.
So it's really have a go, order one, see what you want, talk to you on the phone.
Yeah, if you find you're left with things, let us know and we can take them off either sort of on an ongoing basis or just for that week or a few weeks. If you find you're left with beetroot and you don't use beetroot, tell us. If you don't want cabbage, tell us.
Oh.
And we'll put something else in. And it's obviously seasonal because we put as much of our own things in as we can.
Yeah.
We have more growers locally, East Sussex growers, who are providing us with things in the summer. And then in the winter we have to look a bit further afield because of the roots and things.
Mm.
Winter's much more rooty. Some people struggle with that. Some people don't like the winter fare at all and so come back in the spring. Some people love the summer. And so it really varies. But again, we try and cater for different people's diets as well.
So the packing is going to start any moment now. They're going to go into the bags and the boxes. They've got the names of the customers on the side with all their details. And you're moving along.
We're not great fruit growers, so we buy our fruit in. We're much more leafy, leaky, squashy. And then, as I say, the summer
it's really good technical terms.
Altogether.
Yeah, I'll remember that now that you're leafy, squashy here at Barkham.
Leaky.
And lovely, lovely red peppers.
Yeah.
Here's a juicing box to go to Berry, which people are putting in. So there's everything from carrots, beetroot, chard, kale, cucumber, ginger, apple, orange and lemon. Very good.
So that doesn't change quite as much as the other one.
Mm.
You can do if people request it to do so.
A veg box, but without potatoes and carrots, because I've got plenty of those at the moment, so I can literally have whatever I like to go into mine. Is that right?
Yeah, as long as we have enough, I suppose. We have a cut-off midnight on Monday.
Oh, I see.
So if people order after then, we can't guarantee they'll get what they want,
right?
Because at some point we order the Wednesday before, and so we have to guess how many more or how many less we're going
to
get.
I'm with you. So in order for you to make sure that you service everybody else, that's
and
on
not
your
to
end.
Order too much and waste it.
So in other words, you probably don't have enough.
Well, we may do roots off on root store, so we carry those over. They're fine week to week, but things like all leaves are our own generally, so we generally would have enough. We might, because we've picked today, because we had a the projection for today was we had a list of what needed picking. So unless we've got extra, we'd have to go out and pick it. We can do that.
Yes, well, you've tempted me now to all these beautiful leaves and your leeks and everything. That I've got to have that.
And the chard in there. So we've got some.
Yes, so that's my juice box. So I'm going to experiment with some juices.
Yeah.
I give everybody the taste test on those. Now I've got to get some veg and then I'll go home and see what I can make with all this lovely produce.
Lovely, yeah.
Thank you very much.
And that was myself and Maggie Harvey down there at Barcombe Nurseries, and we had a fantastic day. I was in the fields actually picking my own leeks, and it was very cold, but it was great to see and hear things live in the fields, like you know, what they have to do to protect the fruit and veg whenever things are growing. And they play music at night to scare away the deer so they don't come and eat the sweet corn. And it was quite fascinating. So I have to say that if you are tempted like me to go for the veg boxes, then you can get in touch with them. It's www.barcombenurseries.co.uk. And you can speak to Harvey and the team there because they do a really great job. You can also email them vegbox@barcombenurseries.co.uk. And do remember that if you check in with them, give your name and your details, then you can go on their mailing list. And if you fancy joining myself and the team here at the Food and Drink Show, we would love to see you joining us during the spring when they have their next harvesting or sort of session in the fields where you're sort of protecting the vegetables and things like that. We really fancy that, and going down and having our lunch with the guys there. So if you fancy that, give me an email at Radio Reverb and I'll connect with you and then keep you posted whenever we're going to do it. So I made juices, I made soups. They were incredible with the vegetables, and I haven't in the past been a great juicer, but I am now. I'm going mad. My fridge is full of them. So I just wanted to share with you some of the tips that I had, really, from pulling out my old juicer and getting started again. Number one, thanks to Maggie and the team at Barcombe, I'm thrilled now because I was using beetroot. I never used beetroot before. And I would say that if you're new like me to using beetroot, then maybe sort of less is more initially. So just pop one into your juicer and not two or three like me, because it's quite a strong, earthy flavour. And you need to kind of acquire a taste for that. The other one is ginger. Just go gentle with it initially and then you can add it as you go. It depends on your family and your own taste buds as to how much ginger and what kind of kick you like to get. These things are really worth knowing. You also need apples and carrots really to kind of sweeten up your juice when you're using vegetables. So they would be the things you as a basis that you would need. Celery brings in a great clean fresh flavor as well to all your juices. So if you can, stock up on those things. One thing that I learned as well is do keep an eye on your waste section of your juicer and empty it as you go. Otherwise, you might find that you're sort of pulping away, and the next thing is your motor starts to go make a very sound strange noise. So if you don't want to burn up your motor, do empty it out, because your poor blade will be struggling against all the pulp that's sort of in your waste pack. The other thing as well is don't forget to use your composter, because you're going to have all this beautiful pulp, the wayside of the juices, and it's a shame to let it go. So if you don't keep one, then if you know somebody else who does, do share it with them, because it's really fantastic. The other thing that I learned from ordering at Barcombe was also their salad bags. You heard me raving about them. They are amazing and the best, really, I've ever tasted. And you don't need any additional salad sauces, because the flavouring is all there in the salad itself. So a tip from me, buy two. They last in the fridge and they're so good, you increase your consumption of salad and you'll run out. So there you go. Lots of great ideas, and many thanks again to Maggie and the team at Barcombe Nurseries. This is the Food and Drink Show. I'm Karen Morton. You're listening to Radio Reverb on 97.2 FM. We're on DAB, and you can listen to us online. After our next piece of music, well, we're going to be raising our glasses and having a beer with Bison Beer, and we're going to hear about some of the fantastic new projects that they are working on.
Stone down to my bone. Look. looking up at heaven, I am petrified. Time waiting on a sign, touched by the devil, I am terrified. Blood turns to gold, will turns to fate. Locked in the heart, hearts always break, hunger always aches.
And there we go, The Hunger with Jack Savarotti. Great track, great album too. If you fancy getting your hands on it and you haven't heard it, that's the album that I have been enjoying very much this month. Some great tracks that you will know well. Back to Me, Home, Tie Me Down, and of course, Broken Glass. Now, in the studio with me, I'm delighted to say, is Jack from Buy Some Beer. How you doing?
Hello, good. Yourself?
Hi, I'm absolutely fantastic. Jack, it's great to have you here because I was introduced to you really through friends of friends. And if you remember, I strolled down to your lovely shop, or if you call it a craft house, on East Street a couple of Saturdays ago. And I was very thirsty when I arrived. And I was greeted by your wonderful wall of taps. Tell us about your taps.
So the taps that we have in the shop on East Street are basically tasters for people to try before you buy. So we have a growler dispenser in there, which for people that aren't familiar with it, are 1.9 litre kind of American glass flagons. And the idea is to have kind of four beers on rotation for people to come in and fill the growler up and take home to enjoy in the comfort of their own home.
Do you know what? I love those. I tweeted up some photographs of the fabulous glass jars, but also the contraption that you have
for sort of if for really is it for filling them and cleaning them? And tell me about it. You've got this great contraption for the growler.
So the dispenser, essentially what it is a wonderful piece of science. And what it does is it strips the oxygen out of the flagon, the growler, and basically pushes it with CO2. So I think the chamber would be basically free from oxygen, which would spoil the beer, loaded with CO2. And then what we're able to do is the dispense the fresh beer into the growler. So it means that people can take it home, enjoy it in the comfort of their own home, in kind of 6 weeks' time, because that's how long it will stay fresh for.
Wow, that's amazing. And what I loved whenever I was in the store as well, there was a lovely atmosphere. It felt really friendly. There was people popping in and out. There was people bringing back their empties to have them refilled. There was some visitors down from the north of England that are beer fanatics, and they popped in because they'd heard through their son-in-law to come in and taste a few beers. And it felt like a party, really. You've managed to create a lovely atmosphere. Was that your plan?
Yeah, I mean, I think we kind of made it up as we went along. So we do get people come in and treat the place as a bar. And obviously we're an off licence. But hopefully with the Bison Arms, which I'm sure we'll get onto later, we'll be able to accommodate those people. But essentially we wanted to create a place where people could come and feel at home. And that's the idea behind the off licence, and something that Nick and I were very keen to do from the outset, really.
Well, it is a great atmosphere, and you could tell that your customers were really enjoying it, and through your emails and things that you send out and invite them to come and taste. The other exciting thing is that as well as you have so many bottled beers, tell us, how far afield do your beers go?
Well, all over the world. So if you imagine that Sussex is the centre of where we start. We have 63, probably more now, microbreweries in the county, and then we try and get all over the UK where there's an emerging craft beer scene that's been growing for several years now, and obviously over to the States where it kind of all began. So the fridges, if you imagine, go from west to east. So it starts in the States and then moves over to the UK and Europe, and then ends up on the east side of the world in kind of places like New Zealand and Australia and Japan. So that was essentially the idea of opening with a real Sussex-centric focus.
Well, that's the thing I really wanted to say as well too, because you do have a lot of English beers and you have a lot of local beers, and I tried quite a few while I was there. And what's important to me as well, because, you know, sort of coming from Ireland, we go up to the bar and it's sort of, you know, you have your Guinness. There was the Smithwick's years ago. But lager-wise, we're sort of like, you know, a pint of Harb, a pint of Carlsberg. So I was kind of looking for some varieties there that would sort of please my taste buds. And I have to say that on tap as well as on bottle, you gave me a few really goodies to try. Now, something that is great is that the beers on tap are not the same all the time. And so tell us, what have you got on tap at the moment for people to try?
That's a good question. So I was in the shop earlier on today and we just put the kernel on. So we have the kernel coming down to visit us on the 3rd of March. We've done a few of these events. They're called Meet the Brewer. Essentially what we do is we invite a microbrewery to come down. We pair them up with 64 Degrees, and they bring the beer, 64 Degrees bring the food, and we have a bit of a party in the shop. So they've just gone on. They've done a pale ale, I think, with Chinook and Cascade, both American hops.
Ah.
We also put the Thornbridge Jaipur X on. So Thornbridge are a fantastic brewery in Derbyshire, and they made a special beer for their 10th anniversary last year, which is fantastic, although it is 10%, so it's something that we're only serving in what we call howlers, which are half growlers, 1 litre bottles. Beast Street is on, which I believe we're going to taste today. So that's an IPA that we made in Sussex, and the last one I believe is Arbor, which is a Bristol based brewery who have a fantastic scene over there, and they've got a beer on brilliantly named called The Devil Made Me Brew It, which is a 5.5% stout.
Wow, that I'd like to try now. Yes, it's as a Guinness girl, that would be good for me to give that one a go. So I love the growlers, the howlers, and one of your team is a graphic artist, and she does all your design on your bottles and things as well. Is that right?
Yeah. So with the bottles, what we did when we launched the B Street IPA is we done something called B Street Sessions, which something actually we're thinking about bringing back this year. But essentially what we did is we invited local artists, as you probably know, there's plenty of them down here, to come in for the launch of our new beer. So from Monday to Friday, we invited a different local artist each day. We gave them blank growlers and said, the world's your oyster, you know, make some designs on them, draw on them. And we invited customers to come in and purchase the growlers for you know, for a bit of original artwork, if you like. And we see them come back in kind of day to day, which is fantastic, because that was back when we kind of first opened, really, in the summer of 2015.
Well, you've just grown from strength to strength. Now, we've been talking about beers. So, Jack, let's get the bar open. What have you got for us to taste? I see you've got some very colourful cans. So these are your own Bison beers that you're going to open now. Is that right?
The first one will be our B Street IPA, which is the one that I was just talking about.
Now, just explain to our listener IPA.
Indian Pale Ale. Okay. So essentially, it dates back to something like the 18th century. And it was because the beers were being shipped from the UK over to India. And they found that pale ales were the best ones to ship, just because they travelled quite well. There is a whole host of stories. I mean, this is what makes the craft beer industry so intriguing, and particularly why Nick and myself got into it. And, you know, some people say that they had to be really strong because of the way that they travelled. Whether or not they do, I don't know, because the IPAs that we're going through today, one's 4.5%, one's 5%, and one's 6.5%. Welcome to Take Up with the Colonel, who are obviously coming down for the Meet the Brewer, and they...
Where are they from?
They're based in Bermondsey.
Okay.
In South London. So they start their IPAs at something like 6.6%. So this is going with the idea that IPAs have to be much stronger than a normal beer, if you like. But I don't know. I mean, I don't know where it comes from. Nick and I don't claim to be, you know, specialist brewers. We just love beer.
It is what it is. It is what
exactly.
It is. IPAs. Okay, great. So let's have a little taste, please. Hear that lovely sound, which we all adore. You're listening to the Food and Drink Show here on Radio Reverb. I've got Jack from Bison Beer Craft House on East Street, and we are just about to taste the first of our beers here on Radio Reverb.
Cheers.
So, cheers.
Cheers.
Sláinte. So, tell us again the one we're tasting.
So this is the B Street IPA. This was our first IPA that we made in the summer of 2015. We brew it in Sussex. It's the only one that we actually distribute. So it's in and around plenty of bars and restaurants in Brighton, and it's moved up to London as well. So it's something that we're rolling out.
Very fruity smell. Good hoppy smell there too. And it's light, it's not heavy. And also colour-wise as well too, because some of the IPAs can be quite orangey, but this is paler. It's nice, lovely. Very enjoyable.
Yeah, I mean, it's a very middle-of-the-road IPA. It scores quite highly on websites like RateBeer and Untappd, and it's something that we were keen to bring as a kind of sessionable beer. It's something that most... It's not really going to offend anybody. That's the kind of beer that
it's lovely, perfect.
It's a fantastic beer, but it's also... You know, it's 5%, it's got a nice bitter finish, and it's something that, you know, it's a real kind of, real nice kind of starter beer.
That's exactly right, what you're saying, a nice bitter finish, and it's crisp and fresh, and it's delightful, and I can imagine enjoying that sitting out in a beer garden. So number two, what have we got from Bison Beers? Oh yes, you have to be quick round here at knocking it back, but I do have some, we can do the whole thing with a sort of the old, pour it into another glass.
Throw it away? No way.
Oh, no, I'm Irish. We don't throw away.
Okay.
I'm saving it up here on the side, but I am broadcasting, so I have to be careful that I can't go over the top. So what is our second beer?
Beer that I brought in is actually a beer by Island Records. So the place that we're brewing in Sussex is a shared space, which is fantastic because it's exactly the reason we got into the beer industry, because it's all about collaboration, sharing ideas. And Island Records are obviously a record label, but they're interested in having a bit of an influence in the craft beer scene, so much so as that we're at Craft Beer Rising, which pretty much a year ago is where we really started this journey into buy some beer. So Nick and I went to Craft Beer Rising, which is an industry leading kind of craft beer festival, and this year we're going to be there with our own stand with the brewery, which is called Two Tribes, and Island Records will be there, and they'll be playing some music, and it's generally a pretty good day out.
So from records to beer, again another very tasty beer, full of flavour, and again light in colour, which I like. For the IPA, it's really good. It's slightly smoother, where the other one was sort of a lighter, fruitier note. This one is a smoother, very drinkable.
Yeah, it's very smooth. I mean, I'm not 100% certain on the concept of it, but essentially it was to try and bring music and beer together. So it's 4.5%. It's something that is extremely sessionable, and the label, which I think is fantastic. I mean, that's something that I'm really into with the beers. I love looking at these different labels, different artworks, and they've gone so far as to put a Spotify playlist on the back, so you can actually Shazam it into your phone and it will give you an Island Records playlist. So they're really bringing the kind of music and beer together, which is fantastic.
I got to do it. I love that idea. Got to do that. Okay, so I'm passing my glass over because we're going to have our third beer. That's a great sound, isn't it? Great sound. So here we go. So tell us what we've got now.
So the third beer is an IPA again. It's by Gunn Brewery. We love these guys. I mean, they came into the shop pretty much when we first opened, very similar to the Beach Street and the Island Records that we tried, in the fact that it's unfined, naturally conditioned in the can. It's vegan friendly, so it's a very, very simple beer. This is a bit stronger at 6.5%.
You can taste that.
Yeah, and these guys deliver it by hand. You know, they're still in their overalls from working. They're constantly trying to make new beers and get feedback from these beers. And I think this beer is called Zanzama, and it's without a doubt one of the best IPAs I've tried since we've opened the shop.
So we're here on Radio Reverb, the food and drink show, and currently I've got Jack from Buy Some Beer with me. If you take a look on their website, or you go to their Twitter feed or Facebook, I think Nick or Jack, you've been posting some of these up there that we're trying here in the studio today. So it's good, really good. I'm liking that one.
A bit stronger?
It's definitely stronger. I would say out of the three, do you know what? The first one, I think, is probably the one for me. But if I was given a nice pint of any one of these, I'd be very happy. Thank you very much indeed. And I would be very happy to take a six-pack along to a party with these beers. So a great introduction. And do check out Bison Beer. Go in and see them on East Street and have a real good taste. Now, you're also involved in a very exciting project. You did some crowdfunding, which was a phenomenal success. So please tell our listeners what you were doing.
So the Bison Arms came about essentially from our customers, and particularly from the residents who live above the pub. So when we opened the craft house, or the off-license on East Street, we had a fair few hurdles to jump over, one of which is being that the shop itself is located in what's called the CIZ zone, the Cumulative Impact Zone. And Brighton Police and licensing have decided not to give out any more licensing, just as a blanket kind of ban, because of the problems associated with late night drinking in the area of East Street and beyond as well. So when we opened, we went and spoke to the residents in particular, and we went and spoke to the licensing authority and said of our plans and what we wanted to do. And they made an exception for us. They put some kind of conditions on our license that, we couldn't sell kind of six stellas for £5 or something like that. But that's never the intention of the shop anyway. So when the Burger King application came in to turn the pub, and let's not forget it's been a pub since the end of the Second World War, into a fast food restaurant, that's when we kind of stepped in and decided to act. So Yeah. The online petition, I think in something like 24 hours, had about 10,000 signatories. And that really kind of prompted us to offer a real alternative. And that's all we did the whole way along. And I think it was very, very obvious from the get-go to anybody that was investing. And let's not forget, this is dividend-paying shares for equity in the Bison Arms, that they could just see that it was going to be a bigger version of what we have now in terms of the beer. Obviously, we knew that wouldn't be enough, and we'd need to tie in some of our friends, particularly 64 Degrees, and do a food offering as well. So that's something that we've now managed to secure off the back of the crowdfunding campaign, which I think ended at about 150%. So we asked for £100,000 and ended on £150,000, which is fantastic.
And I mean, that was raised, I think, most of that in about a week, if some of your colleagues were saying. So, I mean, it was a phenomenal success and just shows you how people love a good feel story and love their Brighton and love their pubs, and the whole idea is just fantastic. So you hope to, you're going to be sort of really re-gutting and working on it all, and you're hoping to have it open summertime?
I think that's ambitious, but
we'll walk down and help you.
Yeah, I mean, if you get on the website, so bisonarms.co.uk is the place to be following events unfold there. I mean, it would be lovely to open this summer, but something we won't do, especially with other people's money, is rush it through for the sake of making a few quid or two. I think one of the big plans now is to really engage the community. As we have done already with the crowdfunders, so we have over 400 people that actually own this place, so it is a community pub, and I think that will be as soon as we move in. So I'm imagining that once we take the keys, we invite anyone and everyone to come down and gut the place, if you like. So we'll have we'll get some t-shirts made up, we'll bring some beer, 64 Degrees will bring some food, and we'll just invite people to come down and get their hands dirty, really, and that will be the start. And then I think we'll move into the build, which will very much lie with Oliver Heath, and he's the kind of lead designer on the project, fantastic local architect, and brilliant with what's called biophilic design, which is essentially looking at the relationship that us as human beings have with other life forms, so bringing kind of outside in plants and so on and so forth.
Wonderful. And of course, we know Oliver as well from sort of television, sort of doing makeovers and things like that as well. But he's very passionate, for sure, about recycling and sort of, if you like, sort of healthy and lovely living spaces for us to enjoy without harming nature, really. So it's good. So we're going to have beers, we're going to have food from 64 Degrees, and everyone who's sort of contributed in some way, you're going to do something lovely on a wall, I believe, if you've been an investor.
Yeah, so we said there were rewards along the way, so some of them were things like getting your own tap, or Will Blood, as a local artist, is going to do a personal kind of thank you piece of art. But at the very kind of entry level of investing, which I think was about 20 shares, just under £100. We said anybody that invests that amount, we will put them on the wall of the Bison Arms. So that will be something we look to do with another local artist, and put those somewhere between 300 and 400 people up that basically stood up and said no to the status quo.
Wow. Fantastic, I love it. So we've got the Bison Arms to look forward to, and speak to Jack and the team there, sign up to their emails if you would like to go and help gut the place and join in the sort of the restoring party, which I think is a great idea. In the meantime, you can go to the Bison Beer Craft House, which is on East Street, and they're at www.bisonbeer.co.uk. You can tweet, and you can also check out their Facebook page as well. So it's been great to have you, Jack, and as well as you sharing some lovely ales with me straight out of the can, some funky cans going on. As you know, I went down to Barkham Nursery, and I've been making juices. I'd like you to taste one of my juices. Are you up for that?
Yeah, I'm a big juicer.
Okay, you taste that. It's very red, as you can see.
So, I've got to guess what's in it.
Yeah, see if you can guess. It's for you. Don't worry, you can...
Oh, the whole thing.
Yeah.
There's a lot of beetroot in there.
Yeah.
Apple.
Yeah.
Parsley.
No parsley in that one.
Lime or lemon?
Lime and lemon.
Lime and lemon. Cucumber?
Cucumber, yeah. Well done. Have another taste, because there's another big fruit in there.
Orange?
There is a blood orange.
Ah.
Yeah.
Sicilian and blood oranges.
There. Well done. Hey, hey, you're good. And there's also a whole pineapple. So what do you think?
It's fantastic.
Do you like it? Ginger? And there's a good chunk of ginger.
I don't
in there.
Get much ginger.
So I did put quite a chunk in there. So
one of the things that I did a few years ago, I was never a massive coffee fan, but I bought a juicer, and every morning I put an apple and a wedge of ginger in and shot it, and it's essentially what an espresso would do to you.
Well, fantastic. And there's also some kale in there. So talk about a healthy juice, huh? It's all going on in there. Jack, thank you so much for coming to Radio Reverb to the Food and Drink Show. We wish you well with the Bison Arms, and do keep in touch with us and come and see us again to tell us, give us an update really on the project, and share beers with us, because we all love our beers.
Thanks, Karen.
Thank you very much indeed. You're listening to the Food and Drink Show here on Radio Reverb.
Now everyone is going out, but I'm staying in. See, I gotta nurse my lonely heart with a mini bar gin. That my baby is mad at me, no, for doing something wrong. It's just that I'm so far, far away from her, and I've been there for so long. So won't you please try and understand that we ain't that kind of band. You choose who you choose, baby, I sometimes end up. That swag me, baby, or suckers that I clock. See, I'm the fire hose, and everybody knows that I knock it down and kick that ass. So when I go out on the town, straight out the ground, I ain't looking to get on down. It's just one of them things, asty. Me and the fellas sipping on some Heinekens, if you know what I'm trying to express through my music. So won't you please try and understand. You choose and you sometimes end up with the mini ball.
Loving Criminals with Mini Bar Blues here on Radio Reverb. Well, that's about it from me, Karen Morton, here in the Food and Drink Show. Before we go, a very big thank you to Jack from Bison Beer for joining me in the studio to do a tasting. We also have to thank Maggie at Barkham Nurseries, and do check out both these fabulous organisations, because they really do add value to your purchase and involve you in all sorts of wonderful tastes and explorations.